Yeah, happy Sabbath, everyone. I'm very honoured to be here, to be honest. Thanks. Just thank you, Dora Cree, for giving me the opportunity to speak God's word. It's been a long time coming, or not that long, really. I've only been a Christian for, two and a bit years. Thank God for what he's done in my life, Lord. He's such a blessing to me, and it's good to see my family here too, which is, I'll just point them out and make them feel uncomfortable at the moment. So, God's good. Those who don't know, I'm the Dora Creek's Bible worker, so I'll get a defaultly get a spot here. I'm honoured to be here. I'm so blessed. My message today is in response to my spiritual journey this year, really, and it's motivated really by the current climate of how the world is. And it, you know, to be honest, it's some good timing for that kind of thing, to really get, to check ourselves, to see, just to check ourselves spiritually, and I'll just go from there. So it's a weird name, I know. Burn the boats on truth. Vikings would. When they attacked, or there's a lot of different reasons, but Vikings, when they attacked, they'd burn their boats, so they planned to stay where they were. They drew that line in where they wanted to be. Burning the boats on truth has a lot of meanings. Looking into it, I found. I just made my own one. I made my own analogy around it. So. We are to get concreted in our spiritual foundation, persevere through tough times, not rejecting God's word, and being immovable in our faith. We will not exchange truth for lies. We will stand, we will burn the boats on the shores of truth and stand our ground. Amen. Yeah. God forgive me. that I'm actually gonna. This is gonna be my first verse, but you'll get my point. If you want to open your Bible to John 8, 7 to 11. John 8, 7 to 11. Allow me to read this version. Jesus once said to an angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, "He who is without sin amongst you, let him cast a stone at her." When his words came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, "I also am a sinner. Lord, have mercy on that." This is in response to, before you throw tomatoes at me, this is in accordance to what I would like to call the CCPBV version of the Bible, the Chinese Communist Party version, and of course, it's a bold attempt at changing scripture in response to a movement I appreciate very much. This is in response to how China stands up for their faith and stands up for Jesus. And look, he obviously doesn't know our creator very well because, this is just blatant nonsense. And, our God's a powerful God. So, we all got a choice. It's in response to the Chinese underground house ministry. So this is impressive, guys. There's an estimate of 50 to 100 million adherents into these. And look, this is old numbers, so I am optimistic it's higher. 50 to 100 million, how many people in Australia? What, 20 mil, is it? 20 million. So Jesus is alive and well in China, regardless of what the government tries to do. Plays a significant role in China's Christian growth. Dora Creek also takes this kind of ministry seriously. for reasons for the climate we're in today. And in his Christ method. So if you read through all through Acts, the early church came together, worshiping, singing, eating and strengthening each other in truth, and God added to the church daily in the thousands. And how logistically can they accommodate this? You know, so of course it's through smaller groups, smaller house groups, and through harsh persecution, a communist country. The government tries to regulate and control the big and stronger church that came behind the scenes, and it's all through Christ's method of doing things. The climate we're looking at today in other areas that we should be looking at, popes on a tour at the moment and suggesting that all religions are a pathway to God. If we can't see the prophecy unfolding before our eyes now, I don't know when we're going to see it. This is encouraging. We've been hearing about this for years. It's not like it's a shock. The world is uncertain as it ever is. And so we need to really check our relationship with Christ. Have you seen this? The Keep Sunday special movement, not to be confused with Kennard's self-storage, which when I was looking at looking for information on this, I kept getting that. The only way is to God is through Jesus Christ. So I'll just have to point that out too. This organisation is a partnership between Evangelical Alliance and the Church of England, who are then in partner with major organisations and companies around the world to keep Sunday apart. Things are developing rapidly, and how we said things happen in prophecy, all are unfolding before our eyes. Where are we at with this? I'm going to let a lot of divine counsel speak for me today too. So we'll just let's go to home. This is Home Ministries, August the 1st, 1889. We have been told many years for a Sunday law to be enacted in our lands, and now that the movement is right upon us, and it is, we ask, what are our people going to do in this matter? So this is a question one, isn't it? Do you realise that the night will soon come when no man can work? We have to think about these things. Have you the intense zeal, that piety, that devotion, which will enable you to stand when the opposition is brought upon you? We should especially seek God for grace, and power is an important one, to be given to his people. God lives, and this is an interesting part at the bottom. We do not believe that the time is fully come when he would have our liabilities restricted. I think that's out of date. I think our liabilities will be restricted very soon in regards to this kind of thing. And all it will take is one major event. I feel we can believe that, right now. Thanks, Casey, for doing the reading too. I got help with using Joshua as a means to remember where we come from. So Joshua called the 12 men who had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man for each tribe. Then Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the son of Israel. This shall be a sign among you. Love that language. When your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Now I ask you, what do these stones... the stones remind them how God led them in the past. So what can we learn from this? We also need to know, trust and remember how God led our church in the past. This is how biblically everyone should be doing things. The pillars of our faith are an immovable blueprint. We're a Seventh-day Adventist. The pillars of the Seventh-day Adventist faith are immovable. Like China's home church movement, they rely on Christ's method for them to strengthen and grow. We, as God's remnant, must remember that the message that was entrusted to us, let's brush over these fundamentals, yeah? Pillar doctrines, personal, visible return of Jesus. I'm going to brush over these. I'm not doing a Bible study. The cleansing of the sanctuary, the beginning of the anti-typical Day of Atonement, the gift of prophecy through Ellen White's ministry, the observance of the Sunday, the seventh-day Sabbath, and Revelation 11 in regarding that at the end of time, and only through Christ, of course, that immortality is an inherent quality through our faith in Christ. Free angels' message. Let's remember these things, people, to proclaim the everlasting gospel and to call for the restoration of true worship, because the judgment has arrived. Warning against all forms of worship not based on completely on God's word, and warning against worship, worshiping the beast and its image. We need to remember these. What our calling is. As God's remnant people, He's given us a special message to give to the world, and it should be a loud message. We need to remember where He's led us. We need to proclaim the messages that made us a church to begin with. Second Timothy. 4:3-4, for the time will come when they do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. So they're turning away, they've had it, and shall be turned unto fables. If you don't accept or establish yourself in the word of God, if you get lazy with your studies, you start to believe things that water down the truth, that appeals to your carnal nature. Start listening to people and take their word for it instead of God's. Be careful where you get your truth from, people. It's easy to be lazy with that stuff. Really vet your truth. Online and things like that. I think that's very important. Romans 1:25. Who exchanged the truth for a lie and worship and serve the creator, the creature, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They exchanged the truth. They walked away from it. No one can be excusable who says, I will no longer have anything to do with these special messages. I will preach Christ. No one can preach Christ and present truth as it is in Jesus unless he presents the truth that are come to them before the people at the present time. When such important developments are taking place, I believe we are in a time which would classify important development taking place, and the truth that are to come, is the prophecy we should be preaching. We are preaching Christ if we proclaim the free angels' message and present truth. This is the message that Christ gave to our church to preach and to proclaim to the world. The truth for this time is precious, but those whose hearts have not been broken by falling on the rock of Jesus Christ will not see or understand what truth is. They'll accept that which pleases their ears, their ideas, and will begin to manufacture other foundations which is laid. They will flatter their own vanity and esteem, thinking that they're capable of removing the pillars of our faith and replacing them with pillars of that they have devised. I've seen this year. It's like yeah, it was like I was living it. So this is true. This is what's happening in our church and in the world in general. The biggest enemy for our church, really, isn't it? Is this? Is compromise. And if you read the meaning of that, the expedient acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. What's lower than the truth? A lie. Yeah, it's a lie. The first lie was a cunning lie, a subtle lie. You should not surely die is a lie. We're still dealing with this these concepts. The more we don't know our Saviour, or the less we know our Saviour, the more easy we're going to compromise our beliefs. You don't know how you're going to react unless you've been in that position initially. So, look, get to know the God that saves you on a real deep level. This is my graph that I took a lot of time to do, but it'll prove a point. So, it popped in my head. So, yeah, the one that says line, so the real studies have been done around this that suggests that if you have a group of people to convince someone that the line with the line on it, the one that says line, is the same height as number three. And more than half of the people will end up saying yes, based on the peer pressure of them people, the group of people that are suggesting it. So more than half of the people aren't believing their own eyes, and they're folding to peer pressure. I think we're all guilty of this on some level. We take other people's words for granted. We take them as cold hard truth, and to the point where more than half of the people will think that number three is the same as the first one. So yeah, just a thought in regards to just going along with the flow, and it's good what the children's story that Leah was saying, like it's hard to stand out of the crowd. The Holy Ghost, it's the author of the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy. I believe this, yeah. Non-canonical prophets in the Bible that are mentioned will point to the word of God, but they'll have a message for that time. It's biblical, right? So even the non-canonical prophets will do the same thing as the ones that are canon in the Bible. They'll point to the word of God, and they'll have a message for the time that they're living in. For he who God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Listen, it's true. When I was given a little book called Steps to Christ, 15, longer than that, probably 20 years ago, and that drew me to the Bible. It drew me to want to know who Christ was. And then when I started to know who Christ was, then I picked up a book called Desire of Ages, and then I started to know who Jesus was intimately, the details that I couldn't get anywhere else. All it did was strengthen my relationship with God on a level that I wasn't finding anywhere else. And all that did was lead me to the Word of God. And then I read a book called Great Controversy, and what did that do? It showed me a whole snapshot of pre existence to past eternity. So this is inspired, and instead of going home and reading these things under the covers, let's be bold about who where we get our truth from, and be that light to the world around that stuff. Let's be bold in what we believe. When the comfort has come, who I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now praise God for the Holy Spirit that changes all of our lives. And I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. It's a literal reason why I'm standing here. Was God literally changing my heart on a daily basis. And all I had to do was open that door to let him in, and he done the rest. That's what he does. He does the rest. All you need to do is give him permission to do that. When the power of God testifies as to what is truth, that truth stands forever as truth. No after suppositions, contrary to the light that God has given, are to be entertained. Men will arise with interpretations of Scripture which are to them truth, but which are not truth. The truth for this time, God has given us a foundation for our faith. He himself has taught us what is truth. Our faith, in reference to the message of the first and second and third angels, message was correct. These great waymarks we have passed are immovable. Through the hosts of hell may try to tear them down, their foundations, and triumph in the thoughts that they have succeeded, yet they do not succeed. These pillars of truth stand firm as the eternal hills, unmoved by all efforts of men, combined with those of Satan's and his hosts. So, are immovable, yeah? Adventists should never forget their place in prophetic history. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we forget the way the Lord has led us in the past and his teachings. In our past history, Adventists, she held, are prophetic people. We need to remember this. We see power when we're proclaiming these messages. We see people get drawn to them, drawn to these messages. There's power in the messages that God wants us to proclaim. There's power in it, and we need to believe in that power. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he? Thank you. has he ever promised and not carried it through? No. The third angel's message is not a theory of man's invention or a speculation of imagination, but it's a solemn truth of God for these last days. It is the final warning for perishing souls of men. It is not a system of truth simply to gratify and please the intellect. It means diligent and sacrificing labour to all who accept the teaching. Diligent and sacrificing labour. Many who saw a perfect chain of truth in the angel's message and gladly received them in their order and followed Jesus by faith into the heavenly sanctuary, these messages were represented to me as an anchor to the people of God. They're our anchor. Those who understand and receive them will be kept from being swayed by the many delusions of Satan. I hope if anything, this is like you can feel this in your heart, like, because I'm hoping to in some way make you feel these things, because like I always feel like I dropped the ball. And I'm trying to share that our desperate need for Christ on a second by second basis. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. Sanctify I was in looking into that meaning too. There's a meaning called saintly, like saintly. So you know, the truth prepares us to be God's saints. Yeah. In a special sense, the seven Adventists have been set in the world as a watchman and light bearers. Interesting terminology. To them has entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the word of God. I love this quote. They have been given a work of the most solemn importance to proclaim the free angels' message. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. So if you take on some of what God has used her to write down, you can't really just throw away what doesn't suit you. If you believe some of it, if you don't believe some of it, you might as well throw it all out, because who else does it come from then? You know, there's no grey area in this. Well, I don't think so anyway. No line of truth that has made the Seventh-day Adventist people what they are is to be weakened. We have the old landmarks of truth. These are old landmarks of truth. Experience and duty, and we are to stand firmly in defence of our principles. What, under the closet? In favour of the world. But, yeah, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And now these are precious, aren't they? And how much we need him for everything. And, you know, as part of righteousness by faith is knowing our desperate need for Christ. We need him. We need to understand and believe in his power, and we need to understand that we need him for everything. Yeah, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider the great things he has done for you. Consider what, like, you know, everything he does for you. Like, I'm so grateful. I just get up, I can't sleep, I get up 2 o'clock, I'll tell this story at a time, and go to the beach and am just grateful to be breathing, let alone, you know, watch another sunrise. And take these moments, like, now, like, Enjoy what we've got now. Like, you know, we're so blessed in Australia, but I think we forget. I think it can be a little bit of a curse too. We're so soft, and sometimes we need to hear it. I like people that tell me how it is. Like, I don't like people to beat around the bush with me, and I tell people that all the time, but they seem to still do it. I'd rather someone I trust tell me exactly what's going on or exactly what I need to change than not tell them at all. And so if you feel like you need to throw a tomato, go right ahead. But let's really have a living faith. There's 10 virgins and they're all asleep when things happen. So, it also says that, you know, we're going to need to be doing the work under really harsh conditions. But let's really search our hearts now and really get a sense of where we're at. Let's burn them boats at the shores of our hearts. It would be foolish. Hang on, I'll just see. Love this one. I will betroth you unto me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Like this, this gets me, because his wife was horrible, and you know, he still brought her to a point where he loved her so much, and you know, this is us. Like, this is his church. And, you know what he's preparing for us. And I can't understand the love of Christ. I'd like to. On a daily basis, I'll pray he continues to change my heart. But this kind of love, we can really appreciate. The conditions are just... There's one condition, and that's just pronounce your that he's Lord and your Saviour, and allow him to complete that work in you. It would be foolish to believe we are not on the brink of some major changes to how we live our lives. The world is bursting at the seams. It is. And imploding at the same time. I don't think it's a good idea to ignore these things. I believe it is the time we really take stock of our lives and situations. What do we believe? Will you go to jail for your beliefs? Will you do anything for your beliefs? Can we defend our beliefs? Can you defend it with someone who doesn't believe what you believe? Can you defend it? Do we really know him? Do we really understand him? Do we really trust him? Do we really trust him? Amen. Do you have faith in Jesus and keep his commandments? This is who we need to be. Are we standing on an immovable foundation? It is time to burn the boats on the truth on the banks of our hearts, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Are you ready to stand for Jesus? Are you? Well, then you are. when we are unfaithful and faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot not deny himself. So, let's go out and meet him. Yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening to my first sermon here. I appreciate it. I'll pray. Is that what I'll do? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together. Lord, I thank you for impressing these things on my heart. I know I fall short too, Lord. We all do of these precious truths that you've given us in our church, Lord. And Lord, may you continue to convict our hearts on a daily basis, Lord. And we plead for the Holy Spirit. Especially in the times we're in now, Lord, they're uncertain. We're so blessed in Australia that a lot of things are far away from us. But Lord, help us take stock of where we are spiritually and all these things in our own hearts. And Lord, you said you'll finish a good work in us, Lord, and we just pray that you can do that for us individually. And we thank you for everything you do in our lives, even the trials, Lord, because all it does is bring us closer to you. We just pray blessing over everyone here now. And we thank you for everything you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen.